Number four. So we read this in Sunday school, and I was hoping Brother Luke would preach this for us this morning, but he missed a couple points, so I got the rest of them covered. So we'll look at that. Colossians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 2 to verse 6. You can follow along. I'll read that for us, and then we'll consider what God's word is telling us tonight. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, follow along. I'll read verses 2 to 6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Again, verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. What does pray mean? If I came to you and said, I pray, you would give me 10 bucks. What am I doing? I'm asking for 10 bucks. And if you gave me 10, I might ask you for 50, because I think, man, if I get 10, maybe I can get more. Pray means to ask. It means to petition. And here the Bible says continue in prayer. So continue in asking. Continue in asking. Make it a continual linear thing in life. But then notice what he says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now think about this for a second. God says to continue in prayer, continue to what? Ask. Then he says at the same time, watch in the same with what? Thanksgiving. Ask, thanksgiving. Ask, thanksgiving. You know what the Bible telling us, I believe? Is that we can do two things at once. How many knew you can do two things at once? How many have ever chewed gum and walked at the same time? We can do two things at once. You say, what's going on here? Well, let's find out what God has to say. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I'd like to share with you tonight, thanksgiving is a time to ask God for things. That's the title. Thanksgiving is a time to ask God for things. There was a poll done earlier in the year here in 2023 in May. Some of the numbers that came out of that shows how, why, and where people pray. Here's a summary of some of the findings. It said that 61% of Americans say they pray. That sounds pretty low if you ask me, wouldn't you? 61%. 39% of Americans say they meditate, and they associate that with prayer. Most of those who said they meditate are from the Gen Z or millennial age graph. So younger Americans say they meditate, older ones or even the youngest say they pray. 45% say praying makes them feel less anxious, less fearful, less tense or whatever. 76% say they most often pray for family members. How many have ever prayed for a family member? Oh yeah, when you pray, you're always praying for family and friends and people you know and love and care about. 20% say they prayed for their favorite sports team to win. 1% got those prayers. No, that's not what that said. but people pray for anything. 84% say their higher power hears and responds to their prayer. Now remember, 61% say they pray. 84% of them say their higher power hears and responds to their prayer. And it did not say in the poll how many of that percent believe that higher power is the God of the Bible. Regardless, we know that the only one who can answer prayers is, of course, who? It's God. It's the God of the Bible. The Lord Jesus and God answers those prayers with yes or no. Here in the Bible, God's people are exhorted to ask God for things even in times of thanksgiving. Usually when the times of thanksgiving are when everything's going pretty well, wouldn't you say? Things are, you know, things aren't broken for a time anyway. The gas prices come down a little bit. I'm just saying that as a scenario because it hasn't happened in real life. But we're thankful when good times come around. And yet God says, even in those times, we need to continually, notice the word continually, pray. Continue in prayer. Don't forget to ask God for things, even in times of thanksgiving. I'd like to share some thoughts about that as the Bible opens up here, what we should ask for in those specific times. But the title is, Thanksgiving is a Time to Ask God for Thanks. Let's go ahead, speak in a prayer, ask God's help. Before we go any further, would you bow with me and I'll pray. Lord, thank you that you give us such a simple way to get a hold of heaven, to get a hold of your throne, to talk to you. Thank you, God, that it is simple, because if it was complicated, we'd give up for sure. And yet, even though it's so easy, how often do we neglect it? Now tonight, Lord, I pray, as we look in the scriptures, show us some areas that you've asked us to bring to you. You've told us we need to come to you with requests, with petitions, but do it in the spirit of thanksgiving, knowing you've got them in your hands. You're ready to disperse those things. You're ready to answer. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to see what you see in the Bible. Show us where we can grow in our life in connecting and praying to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving is a time to ask God for things. Number one, here in verse number two, again, the Bible says continue in prayer. Number one, let's ask for endurance in our prayer life. Let's ask for endurance in our prayer life. Being able to run fast is a blessing. I never could. But being able to run far is hard work. It takes time to build up to that. Endurance is that long-term prayer life. Ask God to help in your long-term, your endurance in prayer life. The word continue means to persevere, keep on going. There's no limit on the what and the when of prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of the shortest verses in the English Bible, says this, pray without what? Ceasing. Meaning it should be normal, should be regular in your life. Every day, daily, a time where we get a hold of the Lord. I'm not talking about when we sit at the table and rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, or, you know, something short like that, although those can be appropriate at times. I'm talking about times that have meaning, and we think about what we're asking the Lord, what we're bringing to Him. There's no limit on the what and the when of prayer. Pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's go there. And secondly, there's no limit on the where and the who of prayer. There's no limit on the where and the who. 1 Timothy chapter 2 talks about that. And look at verse number 8, please. Verse number 8. The Bible says, I will, or I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The where and the who. I will that men pray everywhere. Boy, you should hear so-and-so, man. When they pray, it's like they get a hold of God right there. Have you ever heard somebody pray like that? You know who used to pray like that? And I was thinking, man, we're in the throne room of God when he's talking. Jack Zanders. Some of you guys during that time of prayer, we'd meet back there and Jack begin to pray. And it just sounded like a little kid talking to dad and asking him for things. It felt like we were right there with the Lord. Boy, I'd love to be able to pray like Jack Zanders, but that's not what the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me all men, women, young people, everywhere. We all qualify to call on God. Amen. We all qualify. And God says everywhere, at all times. No limit on the where, the who, the what, and the when. Let's ask for endurance in our prayer life. Some college students were spending a Sunday in London, so they went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle to hear the famous preacher Charles Spurgeon preach during the late 1800s. While waiting, the students were greeted by a man who asked, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the boiler room of this church?" Well, it was a hot day in July, as the story goes, but they didn't want to offend their host. The young men were taken down a stairway. A door was opened and their guide whispered, "This is the powerhouse of our church." As he opened a door, the students saw 200 people praying over the service that was soon to begin in the sanctuary above. Softly closing the door, the man then introduced himself. It was the pastor, Charles Spurgeon. He is very well known. He's written many books. He's his stamp on God's ministries over the years is undeniable. But he always would say, "Any success I've ever had came from those prayer meetings, that people prayed over God and His Word, what He could do through that." There's no limit on the where and the who of prayer. Let's ask for endurance in our prayer life, that we don't quit, but continue on. Let's go back to Colossians, take a look. He says, continue in prayer, and then he says, and watch in the same. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to keep us awake. I think this goes along with what we heard this morning, that the Holy Spirit would keep us awake. Watch in the same. The word watch has the idea to be awake or alert. Awake or alert. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, number one, sounds the alarm to some specific things. Number one, He sounds the alarm to our pride. Our pride. James chapter 4 and verse 10 says this, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall what? Lift you up." You want to get a hold of the Lord, you want to get closer to Him, humility, God says, has to be key in getting that relationship closer. Robert Murray McShane wrote this, "Pride is Satan's wedge for splitting prayer meetings to pieces. There can be no I and me and what I desire, but what God desires through us." The Holy Spirit sounds the alarm to our pride. Number two, the Holy Spirit draws attention to restoration. Restoration. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians 6. So before Colossians here, a couple of books. Chapter 6, the Holy Spirit draws attention to restoration, restoring one, the Bible says, in meekness and fear. Take a look at verse number 1. It says this, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are," what? "Spiritual," spiritually minded, "restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You're not spiritually minded, you're not spiritual, unless you're agreeing with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, how do we know what the Holy Spirit says? How do we know what He wants? He's not here to ask. How do we know what He desires? Maybe He wrote it down somewhere, you think? Maybe He authored a book that we could go through from cover to cover and find out exactly what the Holy Spirit would like us to do. You know the book we're talking about, don't you? If the Holy Spirit, God says, inspired, He's the author here of the Word of God through men, then it makes sense that we ought to be in His Word so that we can obey what He says. The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit draws attention to, in this case, verse number 1 tells us, restoring a brother who needs restored. He says, notice this, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. But what is the caveat for the restorer? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I read not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago, of a of someone who was struggling in the water, and I can't remember exact place, but this is a story that's happened over and over again. Someone struggling in the water to breathe, and there was a man on his boat, jumped in to try to save the young person. It was a young person that was struggling, got the young person to safety, but in the struggle to get him out, had no more strength left and drowned themselves. Sadly, that's not an isolated story. It happens. Here, God's word is telling us spiritually, you want to try and help someone else. First of all, look here. Look in the heart of your own self first, lest thou be, he says, tempted. The Holy Spirit draws attention to restoration. And then the third thing I think the Holy Spirit tells us and wants to keep us awake of is this. The Holy Spirit points us to God's answer. Points us to God's answer. Have you ever been praying and praying and praying and wonder why God, is he really listening up there? Or is this something I shouldn't be praying about because I just don't see the answer? Well, sometimes God does answer and we're not paying attention. Here's some answers to prayer God shares with us in his word. Thank God for a home in heaven. A home in heaven. As was shared this morning, the nice note from Judy that her mother was laid to rest on Thursday. She's in heaven. She's in heaven. How many know somebody else in heaven? Looking forward to seeing them face to face. And you have that confidence too if you know Christ is your Savior, because God promised you, I'll make a home in heaven for you. Jesus promised it to his disciples, therefore to those who have faith and trust in him. Number two, thank God for other believers here on earth. 2 Thessalonians, if you want to go there, you can, or excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 2 starts out this way. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our what? Prayers. In our prayers. Thank God for other believers here on earth. Number three, thank God for the answers to the prayers you know. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you might know it by heart. If you do, say it with me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What always stands out to me in that verse is the Bible says, in, that's how it starts in verse 18, in everything. It does not say for everything, for everything. We're praying for some of Brenda's relatives and this little girl whose parents both committed suicide. I think we talked about that last Sunday night too. Well, praise God, she does have a home to be in now. It's not her mom and dad, but it is family members. It's a husband and wife situation, which is always better, amen. And they strive to be, it sounds like, a fairly nucleus family. It sounds like they need Christ as their Savior. They need to get saved. But that's a wonderful answer to prayer. Was it God's plan that that little girl become a part of their family? What was his original plan? That she become a part of her mom and dad's family. Let me tell you something, mom and dad, you and I have been given great responsibilities. And sadly, some people don't follow through on those responsibilities. And it brings great sorrow in lives. Yet God can continue to work because we continue to do what? What can we continue to do? Pray. Pray. Hey, praise God for answers to our prayers, even when the answers aren't always the way we would figure them out. But the Lord seems to. In everything, give thanks. Thank God for the answers to our prayers. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to keep us awake. Let's ask for endurance in our prayer life. And number three, take a look at verse number three here in Colossians again. With all praying, as for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Number three, let's ask for fruit in our witnessing. Let's ask for fruit in our witnessing, whether it's through outreach, you go out and reach people, whether it's through prayers. The Bible says, and we'll look at this in just a moment, about our prayers for the souls to get saved, or some other way. However you try to win a soul to Christ, God says, let's pray for fruit from that. fruit in our witnessing. He goes on to say, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Fruit from our witnessing. The Bible talks about the fruit of an open door. Verse number 3, he says this, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody about the Lord or just God in general, and they shut you down? Anybody like that? You ever have a conversation or tried, and they shut you down? And that's kind of discouraging, don't you think? Especially if it's someone that you really care about. They're a family member or relative. I'll give you an example that, and I mean this was God. This was God. I've asked you to pray for my aunt before. Her name is Patricia. And she's very successful. She makes a lot of money. She's not living any kind of a Christian life. And growing up in the Catholic background, she wants nothing to do with church. That's what I understood about 7, 8 years ago. We were at one wedding of actually the sister of the girl who got married a couple weeks ago. And we began to talk for just a minute, and she said, Mark, you know, you and I don't see things eye to eye. I didn't say a word to her. I didn't say, man, we ought to talk about the Lord and the Bible sometime. I never said that to her. She came to me and said, Mark, I just want you to know, we don't see eye to eye. I said, well, I know that. I said, but I still love you, and so does God. She said, well, I love you, but let's keep it that way. 7 years ago. So let's take 7 years of prayer. And I don't pray every day for my Aunt Pat, but at times I do, especially when, you know, family gatherings come around or news comes out. You know how it is. You pray for these folks that God brings to your mind. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago. There she was. Wedding number 2 in the family. The sister of the girl who got married a few years ago. We were sat. This was not my doing. We were sat at a table with, you know, several of our relatives, close relatives together, and whoever put the assigned seating put her right next to me. I thought, okay, Lord, I hope we have something to talk about. And she asked me, how's it going in the ministry, Mark? She asked me, so how's your family doing and so forth, and she began to converse with me, and I would with her as well. By the end of the night, she said, you know, Mark, you and I need to get together over some things. You and I need to have some time in your family, with your family, and talk. And folks, I want to tell you something. That was not me at all. Zero. That was God. I don't know where this is going to go. I pray for her salvation. If you think about it, pray for her salvation. I love her to death. She's lived she's had all the world's success, and it still doesn't make her happy. I think from the time we sat down to the table to the time we left, I never saw her glass empty with alcohol. She's not happy, but she needs the Lord. And in God's grace, I believe He's working on a hard person, on a hard person. A door has begun to open. You know, God says we ought to pray for those kinds of things, that a door would open, the fruit of an open door. How many know someone that you'd like to ask God that He would open a door with? Yeah. If you worked with anybody outside of a Christian family or know anybody outside of a Christian walk, then you know there needs to be an open door. Pray for that. Pray for your witnessing that it would go through an open door. Number 2, the fruit of the Lord's sending others. In our witnessing, let's ask for fruit. Fruit of the Lord to send others. Verse number 3 says this, again, to speak to the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Would you go there, please? Luke chapter 10. This is a moment in Christ's ministry. It's recorded a couple of times in the Gospels, once here in Luke, and I think in Mark is where it's also recorded. But Luke chapter 10. Or John and Matthew, I think. Luke chapter 10, take a look, verse number 2 is where we want to go. Luke And after these things, let me start with verse number one. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two. These things were great miracles. Chapter number 10 records some amazing miracles that Jesus performed, healing folks and others in their need. In verse number one again, he says, he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now notice what he says to pray for. Pray ye therefore for more laborers. Is that what he says? He does not say that. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, do we need more laborers to go out, serve the Lord, maybe start churches and help in church plants and so forth like that? Do we need people like that? We sure do. We sure do. But notice what he says. Jesus says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Lord, would you decide to send some laborers? And I think he's referring in this particular chapter, I think we can apply it to this. Would you send them to a particular place? Send them to a particular place. 20 years ago, 20 plus years ago, there were prayers for Eaton Rapids that God would send some laborers to a particular place. Here we are 20 years later, Grace Baptist Church, still standing, amen? Standing stronger than ever. The corner's standing up. But of course, in God's hands, we've seen some fruit. The fruit of the Lord's sending orders. That's the key there to pray for in our witnessing. Pray that the fruit of the Lord would send his orders. And then number three, if we go back to Colossians, take a look again, verse 4 and following. Let's ask for the fruit in our witnessing. Fruit of an open door, fruit of the Lord sending orders. And then number three, the fruit of souls to call on Christ. The fruit of souls to call on Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Would you say that the Apostle Paul was a great witness for Christ? I'm just reading the Bible, not knowing him personally, obviously, but what we read of him, what we read in the book of Acts, would you say Paul was a great soul winner for Christ? But notice what he says. He says, pray for me that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He's like, man, this is a big task. You know, dealing with the souls of men is a big task. We all can improve on that, I believe. And the Apostle Paul says, prayers is what's going to help me let others know about Jesus. Not only that, he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. If we want to see souls get saved, the fruit of souls calling on Christ, it's got to be, prayer's got to be involved. Prayer's got to be involved. Pray for fruit in our witnessing. An open door, the Lord would send others, send those who are laborers. By the way, you might be praying for yourself. Amen? It's okay to volunteer to labor. Did you know that? It's okay. It's a good thing. And see what God would do and have you go. And then the fruit of souls to call on Christ. What's the point in telling someone about Jesus if you never planned on them getting saved? I'm just fulfilling my duty here. I'm just doing what, you know, the task says. No, God says I need to have a passion and desire for this soul, that he would come to Christ and that she would too. Man, she needs the Lord. And so, they've got everything in life. They don't need anything materially. That's why they need the Lord most of all. God says, let the souls be real to you. Amen. So that we can witness and see fruit. How about it? This Thanksgiving, would you make it a time to ask God for things? Heavenly Father, help us to use these times, these days set aside, Thanksgiving, to continually pray and to watch, Lord, to be alert to the Holy Spirit, and to seek your fruit as we share what you've told us, what you've shown us and what we know to be true in the Bible. Now, Lord, I do pray, help us to bring these things to you. Bring our prayer life to you. We all know we ought to be asking you and petitioning you, but now we know some specific things, along with many others. And I pray, Father, tonight we'd be a church that's willing to ask for the big things and with a spirit of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand? The altar's open. If God's spoken to you, why don't you respond to him tonight? I'll ask the piano to softly play the song that Ray will lead us in just a moment. But as she begins to play, would you respond to what God has to say about prayer? Lord, help me increase my prayer. Help me to endure, etc. Whatever the Lord leads, would you respond?